Good to be here tonight. I know we had some nasty weather move through, but sometimes. And we will jump right into things this evening. Got a message from Brother Allen. He has two doctor appointments tomorrow. And so, of course, he's at home. But he has two doctor's appointments tomorrow. He appreciates the prayers, he said. And just keep praying. And so let's remember him, Miss Christy Teague. She did good today on her outpatient. And so they're back at home. Talked to them earlier. And so we praise the Lord for that. And I'll just go down the list at this time, and then just after, if anybody has a request, an update, then we can cover it then. Let's remember our children's home, Miss Joanne Rich, Randy and Diane Ely, Don and Carla Rich, Richard Martin, Shauna Bendy, Marianne Sandy, Cece Prestridge, Bobby and Nancy McClendon, Cassie Karanovich, Harold Dolph, and of course his granddaughter, with all of the things going on with her. Although he said she's some better, so we'll take that for sure. Brenda Rawls, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, James and Shirley Townsend. Continue to remember Brother James as he, with his heart conditions and all. The Daly's, the Ashworths, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Melissa Slagle, Miss Claudia, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, all of our shut-ins, in addition to the two I just read, James Tolan Brown, Peyton Cochran, and Kevin Brook. So we'll open up the floor, and if anybody has an update or prayer. Okay. Yes.
The guy that I worked with for 30 plus years, his wife ran a very bad car wreck. He lost two tractor trailers. If you saw pictures of the car, you wonder why they were alive.
Jeez.
He's at home, but she's still in the hospital in Savannah with some broken bones. Things going on.
Wow.
David and his daughter, Morton. And Dolores Palmer's brother's wife, Jim, his wife, Teresa.
Yeah.
She had shoulder replacement a couple of years ago. She fell on that
shoulder. Oh, goodness.
So she's in back. It's messed up pretty bad. She's going to have some surgery.
Jeez.
Of course, it's going to involve three doctors.
Really?
Yeah, so.
Teresa Evans. I know who that is. Okay. Any other unspokens tonight? Raise your hand. Anyone else? We're jam-packed tonight, aren't we? Man, pulling out the chairs. But just so thankful that you're here, and those watching on Facebook had the opportunity of preaching chapel over at Grace this morning. And I want to say that was probably the best service since Lily's been going to that school that I was affiliated with. I don't know. The Lord just had the attention of all those teenagers. There was just a great liberty there to preach. And then when I was through, Principal Bo came down and with a microphone, and he started preaching. And he's a preacher as well. And he even jumped up on the pew and was preaching. And he's a bigger guy than I am. So the Lord was moving this morning. It was truly amazing. And speaking of the Lord moving, Monday, Tuesday, had a couple really, 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 really heavy burdens. Kind of came suddenly, just really not liberty to say. But God intervened. I want to tell you, Tuesday morning, I think it was Tuesday or Monday morning, took Lily to school, and I was going to go walk in the movie theater parking lot in Hiram, and I just thought, well, you know what, this would be a great time to listen to some Adrian Rogers. And I went on YouTube and scrolled down to a sermon that I thought I needed, and I want to tell you what, if I've ever heard God speak in God's Word, He put His finger on it, and the joy that came to my heart is truly amazing. I mean, literally night and day different. The devil tonight is a liar. He's a liar. He'll paint an ugly, ugly, ugly picture, in so much that you could even doubt the goodness of God, just because of how hot the battle is, and because of, you know, Christians dying of cancer and things like that. And the devil will have you thinking negative toward our Heavenly Father. But the Lord took care of that for me, and I praise Him for that. And also there was a a song on one of the Christian radio stations by Casting Crowns called Hard Road or something like that. There again, I mean, it was that song, everything the writer said we've been experiencing. There was a phrase in there where he says, I'm used to doing all the speaking, but now I'm listening. I mean, I couldn't have to think of me, you know, preaching and trying to help everybody else, but yet God had a time to speak to me. It was so refreshing, so real. And man, God's amazing tonight. Those burdens are absolutely positively removed. I'm so confident everything's going to work out. It's truly amazing. Truly amazing. So thank you for your love and for praying for us whenever we do request prayer. But anyway, anybody have anything else? It is. It really is. I will openly give a request. I think I mentioned last Wednesday about the little, she's not a little girl, but the girl at Lily's school, giving her trouble. She's still giving her trouble. And she is, she's trying to make her mad. She's trying to get Lily to snap or something. She uses every curse word in the book to Lily's face. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. The girl literally has no expression ever on her countenance. She needs to be an alternative school, what she needs to be. Yeah. Lily got in the car today, and normally we start talking. She couldn't even talk. She just started bawling. You know, and I told her, I said, if the girl if she's threatening, if she's, you know, pulling your hair, she threatened to pull her hair. If she lays a hand on you, I will be up there quicker than someone can draw a gun out. I said, I really feel like some of these situations that you're experiencing, it's hard, but God is training you now for the world to come when you get older. I said, I'm here for you. I'll give you wisdom, or I'll give you words of advice. I said, you just say the word. I'll go on up there now. That was this afternoon. Because she's not going to go to school miserable every day. So I have a deadline. I don't really know what that deadline is yet, but it's not going to continue. And we're not leaving the school. You know, we're not going to do homeschool. We're not going to let nobody run us off from that school. Lily's going to graduate from that school. Been there 5 years, and so she's going to graduate. And if it has to get a little ugly before it gets better, it will. It will. You got to fight nowadays. You just really got to fight to do right. You really, really do. This girl messes with nobody else. Nobody. Nobody else. I told Lily, I said, next time she looks at you or says, what are you looking at? You ought to turn to her and say, you're just mad because you ain't got blonde hair. And yeah. I'm teaching my girl how to. And so, but anyway, that's no remedy. You can't do that. And Principal Bo, he's a great man. We were going to eat lunch together today. He has a full plate. You know, he has positions in the church, positions in his principal at the school. So lift him up in prayer too, if you don't mind. But day by day, come what may, we'll take care of it. Anybody else? All right. Well, we'll have a time of prayer together. And I'm guessing Brother Jeff has a song for us just after. Looking forward to that. All right. You can pray where you're at, or you can come down and pray whatever you want to do. We'll have a time of prayer. Appreciate that, Brother Jeff. Faithfully standing every week. All right. We're going to be in the Old Testament book of Judges tonight. Judges chapter number 13. And while you're turning there, I'm going to open up the lesson tonight with a question. Judges chapter number 13. Question is, what if you never ever, not one time in your life, got your hair cut? That's kind of an off-the-wall question, isn't it? What if you never went to the barber shop, beauty shop, and you just let your hair grow from now to kingdom come? Well, if you did that, you would look like one of these three people. Number one, you would look like Cousin It off Adam's Family. Number two, Rapunzel from the Disney movie Tangled. Or, Miss Glenda, number three, Fabio from Calvary Baptist Church. I said that to say this, that we're going to talk about Samson tonight. Samson. And the Lord God told Samson to never ever go to the barber shop. You believe that? It all had to do with Samson being a Nazarite from birth. And so a razor could not touch his head. That was God's way of covenanting and a part of the Nazarite vow. But we all know what happened, don't we? At the end of, toward the end of Samson's reign as judge, we know what happened. He got a haircut at the devil's barbershop, is what happened. So tonight, what I want to do is, I want to talk about the story of Samson. And I just want to run through his life, pointing out some things here, pointing out some things there, and trying to make some spiritual application with these events that took place in his life. And hopefully, it'll help us, challenge us, and change us. All right, so tonight, let me just start off by saying this. Most likely, Samson had big muscles. Most likely. We read about how he was just full of strength, did all kinds of things. I don't want to get into those things yet because it's in my lesson. Sometimes if you go online and you type in Samson from the Bible, there will be these cartoon-like pictures that will show up with these big old arms and muscles and long wavy hair blowing in the wind. You know, those kind of things. And so most likely he had big muscles. He certainly had long hair. And so basically he looked like a pro wrestler, but for God. And if you were to run into Samson in town, in the community somewhere, at any point, any time, any place, I believe it would go something like this. That's Samson. That's Samson right there. He stuck out like a sore thumb. He had God's touch upon him. Again, before he was even born, he was ordained, called of God to be a leader and a judge over all Israel. And so it was very evident, based upon his strength and his hair, that Samson was in the room. And so now I want to get into some of the events that took place in his life and make some applications. Number one, there was a certain occasion where Samson ripped a young lion into pieces. Not long ago, we talked about this, honey in the carcass, or honey in the Bible. Look, if you would, in chapter 14. We'll go back to chapter 13 in a moment, but chapter 14, I want to look at this right quick. Verse number 5. We see that Samson ripped a young lion into pieces. The Bible says in verse 5, "Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And so he was in the vineyards of Timnath. He was going to take to be his wife this woman from the land of the Philistines, enemy territory. But we know ultimately that Samson wasn't disobeying to disobey. He actually had a plan. God moved on him to go down to the land of the Philistines and take her to wife as a starter to initiate a battle, pretty much. And so, and then Samson would ultimately get the victory out of that. But this is what I want to say, that he was going through the vineyards there in Timnath, and this lion came. And Samson, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he ripped him into pieces. And again, like we said not long ago, that in verse number 8, they came back after a time, and there was honey in the carcass. And so, what's the picture there? Well, the picture there can be this, that sometimes life stinks. Sometimes life gets nasty, but Jesus can make it sweet. That would be the most simplest picture you could get with the honey in the carcass. Is that sometimes what gets dished out to us in life we feel isn't fair. Sometimes we get abused even mentally, or just taken advantage of, I should say. And life isn't fair sometimes. Sometimes it stinks like a carcass. But you see, for the Christian, for us, God has a way of making things sweet. And so we just need to look for the sweetness in anything in life that we should come across. Look for God in the equation. All right, and so we see here that Samson ripped a young lion into pieces. Now, I like the next one. If you flip the page, let's see, we're going to be in chapter 15. So that was great what Samson did by the power of the Lord. Not to mention he was probably a teenager when he did that. But now Samson got word from God that he is to go catch 300 foxes. Can you imagine? I couldn't imagine catching one fox. I couldn't imagine even finding a fox. I think about the movie Rocky and how he chased that chicken around trying to catch that one chicken. Couldn't even catch that chicken. But yet the Lord moved upon him. And it gives clear indication in chapter 13 that Samson had a sensitive spirit to the Spirit of the Lord. And so he moved on him in order to get these foxes. I don't know exactly how it got accomplished. All I know is Samson was obedient. And so, in chapter number 15, look if you would in verse number 4. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and took firebrands and turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. Okay, as if that wasn't enough of a job to do, to go round up 300 foxes. What about this? Samson, this is God. Now I want you to grab the tails of those foxes and tie knots in them. How about that? And I get to thinking about sometimes that in life there's things that don't make sense. To me, definitely tying fox tails doesn't make sense. I mean, he could have gotten bit. He probably did get bit. I don't know. There's times in life where we just have to be obedient to whatever comes down the pike. If we're walking according to God's Word and we're acknowledging Him in everything we do, sometimes there's these things that come in our way, kind of like tying foxtails together. Yet Samson is being a person here that is being obedient to the Lord. Now, that wasn't it. Because after he caught the foxes and tied their tails together, two by two, then he had to put a torch in between. That is a crazy job. Why couldn't the Lord just say, okay, Samson, round up your men and go in? No, he wanted Samson out in the woods, out in the wilderness, hunting down foxes. Have you ever been in a place in your spiritual life where you felt like you were just chasing something and you'll never catch it? You have aspirations and desires to accomplish things, and it just feels like you're chasing foxes and just not even catching any. Well, that's kind of how it was, I'm sure, with Samson. So he caught the foxes, he tied the tails, he placed the torches, and then somehow he had to send them foxes out into the cornfields of the Philistines. That was an amazing attack that God had Samson do on the enemy. And you already know it, but I'll say it tonight, that God can do amazing things. And sometimes it's through strange methods, but all we have to do is submit to God and what He wants us to do, and really leave everything else up to Him. And so that's amazing what happened in Samson's life. Now, not long after that, Samson found a donkey that just died. Keep in mind, the enemy was back around him, at least 1,000 men. And so he reached down and he tore out the jawbone of that freshly dead donkey. Now, the freshly dead donkey matters. I'm going to show you why. So all of the enemies were around, and Samson, I mean, it was strategically placed, a fresh dead donkey. Tell me God does not provide when you need them the most. Now, let's see here. Look, if you would, this, I believe it's chapter 15. Look at verse number 15. 15, 15. And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. I want to say this about the donkey. God allowed that poor donkey to die moments before Samson needed a weapon in order to fight the enemy. That poor donkey, he just rolled over and died. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. And so God allowed that poor donkey to die. And then strategically, as Samson was looking for something to attack the enemy to protect himself, there was a freshly dead donkey. Now, what's so important about it being freshly dead? The bones. If it was a dead donkey that's been there 3-4 months, those bones would be drying out and getting brittle. And so if Samson grabbed a jawbone that's been sitting there for months or years even, he'd go to use that jawbone and that thing would probably just fall apart in his hand, in his hands. And so God was right there with him, strategically placed. In my mind, I'm thinking, here's this donkey. And all of a sudden, bloop, you know, because God said that was the battle spot. That's where Samson needed protection. And tonight, as we live our lives, I mentioned those couple burdens earlier this week. God had provision for me the whole time, right at my taking, the Word of God. But sometimes it's just such a struggle when the devil likes to feed us lies. But God allowed me to find a freshly dead donkey this week. God allowed me to find a fresh jawbone to swing at the devil and get victory from it. God allowed Samson to do that, and God will allow you to find, He will allow you to receive what you need the moment you need it. And I just think that's amazing about Samson with the jawbone of this donkey. Now, that's not it about the story. So that's a big deal, right? He slew 1,000 men. Guess what happens next? Look at verse number 17. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramathlehi. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. You know what we see here? We see Samson trusting God for the big things, but not trusting God for the little things. I'm telling you, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know if it's because of the situations I was faced with this week that really caused me to cast all of my faith in God's Word, but literally this week, God's Word has been jumping out the pages of me, and I'm loving it because I'm getting helped. But Samson trusted the Lord to slay the 1,000 men, but now, man, isn't that something that God provided this strategically dead, fresh donkey with a solid jawbone at the very moment when he needed to drop dead, and he got it and he slew 1,000 men. Now Samson is fretting and worrying because he needs a drink of water. Well, I fret and worry too. I need a drink of water. Thank you, Brother David, for giving me iced water 3 times a week. So here's what the Lord does, or here's what Samson does. Verse number 19. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw. He bored out a spot so he could fill it with water. And there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof in Hakkari, which is in Lehi unto this day. So how about that? God, not that he had to, but he proved to his judge, he proved to his leader that he can take care of the big things and he can take care of the small things. And tonight, no doubt, we all have big things, but then there's those small things. To go along with that statement, I heard a missionary story one time about how missionary family moved to Africa, and they were trying to find their spot where they were supposed to be. They just landed. They were dropped off, airplane landed. And so they pitched a tent, and then they went to sleep. They tried to sleep. Well, there was a gnat all night long, just buzzing around, here and there, buzzing around. Landed on their noses, their faces are slapping, they're hollering, trying to get some sleep. Couldn't get no sleep. Wrestled all night with this one little gnat. And they woke up the next morning, walked out of the tent, and there was a lion right in their pathway. And so they stopped, husband and wife held hands and prayed, Oh God, would you please move this out of my pathway? You sent us here, and I know you didn't send us here to die. They opened their eyes, and that lion was gone. True story. But there's also a truth here about humanity. We do a lot of gnat swatting. I know I do. I'll trust God for the big things. But this little thing here, that little thing there, this little thing here, just, you ever had anything come your way? It wasn't huge, but it was just small enough where it just, you know, made you have a bad attitude or just, you know, not in the best mood. Just like a little gnat. And the more you try to kill that thing, the angrier you got because you missed every time. The Lord is telling us here, He says, I'll take care of the big things, but I'll take care of the small things as well. And so that was a bright spot in Samson's life. All right, so really, it doesn't matter how much in life we have or how much in life we don't have when it comes to the economy of Jesus. It's just all about obeying Him, making ourselves available to Him, trusting in Him, and He'll just strategically place the provisions where they need to be. Some people say, well, I just don't have, you know, I'm not financially stable enough to serve the Lord, or, you know, I won't have this in place. God couldn't use me. I'm not educated. Oh, yeah, He can use. He chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise out there that think they know everything. That's how God works. He uses the things that are the least likely to do the most. All right. Now we see that Samson begins to mess up. So far in the life, the story of Samson, it's been great. I didn't mention chapter 13. So let's go back there right quick, chapter 13, and then we will talk about one of his times of messing up. Chapter 13, verse 24, this is actually recording his birth and growing up to be a young man. Verse 24 of chapter 13, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Verse number 24 tells us that Samson was walking a blessed road. He said that he blessed him. As he grew, God blessed him with the health he needed to serve the Lord. Blessed him with courage to stand against the enemy. Just God blessed him with a discernment of the Spirit of the Lord. It says in verse 25, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move or push. That word move means to push or agitate him at times. And so Samson was really blessed spiritually. And the takeaway from these two verses is when you're following God, following the Lord, He'll bless us. He just will. He'll take care of us so that we can serve Him more. So his life started out great, slew the lion, ate the honey, caught the foxes, tied the tails, lit the torches, got the jawbone, drank the water. And now notice in chapter 16, what normally comes after a big victory is a defeat or a failure. That's why it's so important. Been trying to learn this for 20 years of my salvation. After a high time spiritually, normally we leave ourselves unguarded for the attack of the enemy because we just had a victory. Chapter 16, Samson went after a harlot. Verse number 1, then went Samson to Gaza and saw there and harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait. So everybody's heard of Samson. Everybody's heard of these great victories and stories. Samson's on God's team, and then there's the Philistines, the enemy. So they laid wait for him while he was with the harlot all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. Man, when Samson would wake up, stretch, pour him a cup of coffee, walk out the door, go on his way, however they was going to do it, they was going to slay him. Probably slay him with a sword right when he walked outside. And so we read in verse number 3, and Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. Let me stop right there. Can anybody see anything familiar with that? He took up the post and the gate, put it on his shoulders, and walked up a hill. This is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a foreshadow of Jesus carrying the cross at Mount Calvary. But also we see, again, his super spiritual strength, Samson. And so I don't know, I really don't know. Maybe it was anger, maybe it was just being upset from failure. Didn't really say he killed anybody. Just said that he ripped the gates up and put them on his shoulders and walked up the hill. And so Samson made a bad choice. He went into a harlot. Well, it gets worse. See, Samson, the story of Samson was one who started well but didn't finish well. Look in verse number 4. I mean, immediately after this, he left the harlot's house and then went and found Delilah. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. How did he know he loved her? You know, I think he lusted her is what it was. Love, I don't know. He's loving all these women. Verse number 5, and the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. Hit the pause button right quick. Who also was betrayed? Jesus was, for silver. And so this is another, it's amazing, is another type of Christ to foreshadow. But listen to what Delilah says. Shame on her. Verse 6, and Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Samson, if he did truly love her, he loved her with all of his heart, but she didn't love him with all of her heart. That is a bad recipe for a relationship. Christy and I began talking to Lily. She's not allowed to date and all that right now. But we tell her, no, when that time comes, you know who you're dating. You just don't meet somebody just because they're cute or pretty, you know, and say, I want to marry them. Oh, don't do that. You just never know. You might be marrying a demon. Hey, you don't know. Beauty's only skin deep, you know. It's all about the heart. And so this Delilah was getting ready to be a sellout to the man Samson. We won't read all these verses. It's a lot of verses, but we'll say this. Look at verse number 19. And she made him sleep upon her knees. I want to stop there for a second. Samson, hey, you've been working hard all day. Come here and lay your head in mama's lap. Running her fingers to them locks of hair the whole time she was getting ready to give him a haircut. And look what else it says. And she called for a man. Hey, Johnny, now's the time. He's asleep. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. His head had never been shaved since birth. And she began to afflict him. I never liked you, you poor worthless thing. That's terrible. That's terrible. What a woman. Instead of Delilah, it ought to be devil. And so she sold him out. The barbers came in and gave him a haircut at the devil's barber shop. She started punching him, kicking him. And look what else the Bible says. And his strength went from him. He wasn't supposed to cut his hair. It was part of that Nazirite vow. The angel of the Lord, when he visited Samson's mom, and they don't even give his mother's name. His father's name is Manoah, but it's always woman. But nonetheless, that angel of the Lord said, you've been barren, but you're going to have a son. He's going to be a ruler. He's going to be a leader. But he's going to be a Nazirite from birth. He is totally concentrated. God has called him. He's going to do great things. So he has to keep the hair. That's the covenant. He has to keep the hair. The moment he got this haircut, his strength left. All that power. It don't matter how big somebody's muscles are if they can't open a car door. You know what I'm saying? Now, look if you would to verse 22. So we got the haircut, right? Tell me why the Holy Spirit felt so led to put in verse 22. Here's what it says. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Why in the world is that there? Is it just to tell us? Well, I mean, we know people's hair grows back. So it's not just there to tell us his hair's growing back. I believe there's a message in here about life after failure. He got the haircut. He knew he got the haircut. He knew he fell for this woman. He was betrayed. And the Holy Spirit allowed this verse to be here so that you and I can glean from his life. He made a bad choice. He failed. But his hair began to grow again, which means, Samson, it's not over. It's not over. You'll have another chance. Your hair's growing back. Your hair's growing back. You know, and so many times in my salvation experience, I've failed miserably. I've responded the wrong way. I jumped the gun, said stuff, felt rotten. But I know I'm forgiven. I confess that fault to the Lord, so there's no cloudiness, no animosity. Not from him to me, but from me to him. So confess it, get it out of the way. And it's like immediately when repentance is in place, immediately when you truly say, God, I did not mean to do that. Man, I wanted to be obedient to you today, and I failed again. And when you repent over that, God gives you a fresh touch. You're saved. You didn't lose your salvation. But again, me and Lily, she will always be my daughter. Always. Positionally, she will always be my daughter. But if she did something, and let's just say it was pretty bad, she grew up, she did something, I don't know, and she never came to me and said she's sorry, never tried to make any kind of restitution, would she still be my daughter? Yes, she'd be my daughter, but there's something in our relationship that's causing us not to talk. And so that's the idea there of a Christian. Whenever we sin, our sins are forgiven, but God wants to keep a fresh walk with us and him. And the moment we say, God, forgive me. God, I didn't respond the way I should. Whatever the case may be, it's like God says, it's almost like it never happened. Truly, it never happened. The hair of Samson's head began to grow again. What a blessing. Life after failure. All right. Excuse me. I wish I could say that when his hair started growing, things got better. But they didn't. Look at verse number 20, if you would. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Man, what a woman. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. This is Old Testament. This is, of course, you know that. Of course, New Testament, Jesus died, buried, resurrected again. Spirit came to indwell the believer before all that. And so Samson went out like he did all those other times. He would just, touch me, God. Touch me. I've been serving you, faithful. Well, he's been serving the Lord. He's been faithful. But he really made a big blunder this time. And he went out and he went to shake himself, and the Lord was departed from him. The Lord would come upon people and enable them in the Old Testament. You know that. Verse 21 gets bad. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. In my mind's eye, there's like these big caveman hands. And they are like digging, like scooping his eyes out, like scraping the back of his eye sockets with a skull. I mean, truly, this is how I think it went. It wasn't, no, okay, we're putting you under a little anesthesia, Samson. You know, you ain't going to feel a thing. No, it was lay right here and then just scooping it. Just, Bible says that they took his eyes out and brought him down to Gaza. Oh, can you imagine the pain? Can't see, pain, blood everywhere. And bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Now, verse 26, getting ready to bring it to a close. And Samson said, so there's thousands of people so excited that they finally got Samson. They plucked his eyes out. Who knows what they're getting, what their intentions were. I assume they were probably getting ready to kill him. Well, Samson beat them to that. So there's thousands around. Verse 26, and Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars. Young man, let me lean up against these pillars. Whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Samson already had in his head. He felt like he made this mistake of getting his hair cut, the relationship with Delilah, lost his hair, lost his eyes. And so he had an idea what he was going to do. Verse 27, now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. He knew it. He heard them talking. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. And I believe this was a heart of repentance. This was a heart where he just, excuse me, wished he didn't fail, but he did. Remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. He says, eye for an eye. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. So he is like, you know, he's flexed. He's grabbing. He's already prayed for God to strengthen him just one time. All his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. And I love this part. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. That's such an interesting statement. He killed a lot of people. As crazy as it sounds, Old Testament talk, he killed a lot of people for God, you know, of the enemy. A lot of people. But how the way he went out, he took more down, more of the enemy down. And so it was almost like Samson wanted to go out in the blaze of glory for God. But still, terrible way to go, you know. Terrible way to go. But nonetheless, I'm pretty sure that Israel had some peace after Samson brought down the house. Story concludes in verse 31, just that last sentence, and we're done. And he judged Israel 20 years. So 20 years. He started well. He was growing up, teenager, young man, and about that age that we all kind of get, you know, just inquisitive about the world. He made some mistakes. got a haircut that he wasn't supposed to get, but there at the very end, he prayed with all of his being, God, I want to go out in the blaze of glory for you. And God honored it, and he allowed him to do that. 20 years judging Israel from the tribe of Dan. And that's the lesson tonight, just running through the story of Samson. And it was a tremendous blessing to me. Just these little things. Little things have big impact. And so thank you so much for listening with us as we teach tonight. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for the word tonight. Again, Lord, I'm thankful for how you've been real to me this week. Lord, the days and weeks when I don't feel like I'm feeling now, you're still real. You're still there. But I am just thankful, Lord, that from time to time you allow us to find a fresh dead donkey that we need at that moment. Nothing brittle. Nothing's been sitting out. But just there strategically when we need it. Thank you for moving in my life this week. I pray that something was said tonight that would find a lodging place, help us chew on it, think about it. And Lord, in return, after we hear your word and we're chewing, we're thinking, it just makes us want more of it. And so, Lord, we'll go after it even more on the next time. We love you tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anything to mention?